Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master, Double H, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, for perhaps the last time, and certainly for the last time from the Dawn of Defiance campaign, it all came to this. It all came to an end. The heroes of the Midnight Coterie are preparing their run on the Sarlacc Project, and tonight we find out what happens. I can't say it any better. We find out what happens, whether they succeed, fail, survive. It's all up in the air tonight. Let's get to it. Your cast, as always, beginning with the co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985. Playing Haranitar is Shannon Young.
You remember back when you had two Jedi friends running with you, and you would go down to Dagobah into the swamp and play around with your little green friend. This is that. This tastes like that.
There is also our boss and spy, Iris May, played by Lindsay Wolfgang.
I can't. I knew he was going to do it, and I can't.
Well, Missy, you trying to make me cry?
Playing Kruskog Zubane, let him nap with your hurt. It's Cody Sandusky.
I hate you so much. I came into this feeling emotional, and now the emotions are gone.
And I would be remiss. I'm not going to act like he's not here, though. Master Sigurd Talon has passed on into the Force. The man himself, Tanner Calvert, remains.
From parts unknown.
Parts unknown. It's right down there below Ukraine, Mississippi.
Ukraine, Mississippi.
It's not too far away.
Where the kid's from.
So I've never said this and meant it more. This is a bad time to get into this show. I appreciate the hell out of the fact that a lot of people have apparently been joining in the show here at the end. But this is quite literally the last episode. I have been saying this last week. I mean it now. This is the one. One way or another, when we end this recording tonight, this campaign will have come to a close. Oh, so. Man. Go back to Podzilla1985.com and catch up on the previous episodes, of which there are damn near 2 years worth of them.
And we probably should have done this one live.
I am way too burned from mowing the lawn on my own today to do that.
He looks awfully dark, I can tell.
What Hunter does mean, though, is that regardless of whether or not we actually finish it, when this episode ends, that's it. So if the internet cuts out here at the house,
we're not doing it anymore.
It's
That's
done.
It.
You make up the ending.
I made a pact. To this point, I feel like recapping everything would be insane. But if you're needing just a brief recap, having discovered the location of the Sarlacc Project, the burgeoning resistance has made a bold move to attack it head on. The heroes of the Midnight Coterie moved in and destroyed the Galan defense platform that was holding it in place. Used its I moved my hand in front of the camera in its in place. I moved my hand there. It was bad. Ripped a hole with a series of tractor beams in the side of it. Lady Aldrete from a previous episode, The Gem of Alderaan, made a suggestion of a bold and daring attack on the ship itself, and rallied the troops to the side of the Midnight Coterie, who is now effectively designated as Blue Leader, Blue Squadron, a huge collection of their friends and family and folks that they've met along the way has teamed up with them in this sort of motley crew to take down the Empire, perhaps once and for all for their interactions with them for the time being. And so that's where we ended the last episode. Of course, if you tune in last week, we did a brief recap, not that brief, on the whole campaign, on the campaign as a whole. And this is it. This is the final play session. So that's where we are.
It's the final PlayStation.
You did.
Sorry.
We covered all the little sort of specifics off the air before we started, the minutia of it all, so everybody should be ready to go. Any final thoughts before I get into GM mode, before I go goblin mode on you?
No, I'm going to go pour my last cup of tea real quick for this campaign, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
It's hot tea.
All right, Shannon, is it iced tea or hot tea?
God damn it. It's hot tea, you fucking moron. I'll be right back.
Well, then Stephen has no idea.
He doesn't know.
Wherever he is. I don't want to pull that up until Shannon gets back. I was going to go ahead and show you guys the map.
Should I slightly disappoint you? I re-listened to the end of our last session, and you gave two of our characters the name Blue 2.
I did? That sucks.
Yep.
I don't know who it would have been then, because I've got them all in number two. Do you remember who they were?
You had to have read it wrong on one of them is the only thing I can come up with, because one of them was the squibs.
So. Yeah, blue of two.
That's the one I have written down.
Well, you also gave Jex blue two also.
He's blue 10.
Okay.
He's blue 10. Jexy Joe is blue 10.
That's what I scribbled in there. So
probably just the T threw me off. Yeah, he's in a B-wing. He is blue 10. He's flying that bomber on his own. And then the Squib Collective, which is how I have them written,
the Squib Collective.
In the Y-Tie. Yeah, they're in the Y-Tie, the cobbled together Y-Wing with TIE Wing, or with TIE Fighter wings attached to it. Yeah. Yeah, cool. So I guess I could run that down really quick for those who weren't here. Blue Squadron is made up of 12 ships in total, including Coterie as Blue Leader. Blue 1 is Lady Alia Aldrete. She's in her personal Corellian gunship called the Lap of Luxury. Blue 2 is the Squib Collective I was just talking about. Blue 3 in an ST-70 assault ship, which is the same model as the Razor Crest, the Mandalorian's Razor Crest, is Karoma Moro, who is a captain and a smuggler who you guys ran into during the Queen of Air and Darkness episode with the
Sabacc
tournament. Yes. Itoa Roa is flying an A-Wing over on Blue 4. That is the informant that you guys found in Coruscant, the young kid, kind of a grifter. Captain Adrian Varana, who, of course, we've known since almost the beginning of the campaign, and his own Y-Wing is Blue 5. Blue 6 is Zalar Rishik, one of the bounty hunters who you guys encountered along the way. He's in a Peregrine yacht. He's also kind of the rich, spoiled kid, one who you encounter on the train later on the Gem of Alderaan. Ridley and Narada showed up as surprises as Blue 7 and 8 in their own separate X-Wings.
Awesome.
In the Banshee ship, which is a modified star yacht of its own. I think it's a Baudon-class star yacht. It's Sirona O'Keefe and Crash, another set of pilots that you guys met early on. They are Blue 9. Jack is Blue 10, as I mentioned. And then, of course, in the Z-95 Headhunter at Blue 11... Well, howdy! Piney made a triumphant return to the campaign. So, okay, that's what we got. As we ended the last episode, Lady Aldrete had rallied the heroes to the side of the Coterie, preparing to actually enter the superstructure. As I recall, we ended with Harani pretty much saying, punch it to Graz, and away we went. So is where we are going to pick up directly. As that takes place, and you fly toward the superstructure, the TIE fighters, the iconic Star Wars imagery of the TIE fighters fanning out in front of you comes into play. There's a series of repair crews. I was going for recruitment. Repair crew TIE fighters that have been dispatched both to deal with you, basically, and to deal with the damage that has been done to the Superstar Destroyer. So most of Blue Squadron immediately peels off to deal with them, for the most part, one-on-one. This leaves it pretty open for the Coterie to have a straight shot inside the superstructure. Much like, if you're looking for an idea of the imagery, much like Return of the Jedi flying into the open Death Star, this is very similar. Reaching the main reactor, Aldrete comes over the comms and tells you it's going to be no easy task because the tunnels is a necessity of design inside that make it almost possible, or it would otherwise make it impossible to work on it, do not connect point A to point B in a series of straight lines. If you will kindly take a look at Roll 20, you will see part of what I mean. It's very dark inside because of all the damage that's been done to the ship, and as you fly in, you can see that there is a very sharp turn ahead of you pretty much the second that you guys enter the superstructure. It's going to be twisting, turning, curving, so that is what we're going to see as we start here, okay? I do want to go ahead and get initiative rolls and get those done now, and then we'll take it from there.
Initiative rolls, I forget, as in just the ship itself and then in all the other ones, or we actually have initiative?
You will roll your own initiative to act on your own turns.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, start as you mean to go on, Kruskog.
Kruskog, what do you got?
That's a 15.
15.
I'm going to assume, does force warning apply to this? Do others get to reroll?
Yeah.
I'm a reroll.
That's something that you got. I'm going to reroll for Graz, too.
I assume allies that's within 12 better. Squares includes the ship.
Mine's still a little better by 5. I got a 23.
So the ship doesn't have its own initiative. You guys act as its initiative.
Yeah. Okay. No, same. I assume we're all within 12 squares of each other.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
I need to go get a drink because I've got the hiccups.
Iris, what do you have?
27.
27. Got it. All right. And then Harani?
23
total. Do you reroll?
Yeah.
Kruskog, you can't reroll, right?
Nope.
Because it's your power.
Everybody else but me. Yep.
Well, Groz benefited big time. He literally doubled his initiative on that reroll.
Good.
So that's good news. Yeah, it's also good news because he is your pilot.
Uh-huh. So I would like him to go first, if at all possible, in our little menagerie.
As it stands, he is definitely going first. I'm just looking to see. And then, Harani, you've got stats for, like, the coterie's defenses and hit points and all that, right?
I believe so. Let me... I had it pulled up a second ago. Let me make sure I still have it pulled up. If not, I can find it. But, yeah. What the hell? I did have it pulled up. Oh, there it is. It's because it's a web link. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I've got everything on here.
Cool. Okay.
I'm assuming it's just the base stuff that's in the book, minus the weapons we put on it and, you know, like the speed and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't think we added anything to its defenses. Holy shit, I'm rolling poorly. Okay. You guys better be glad, because that's your enemies. All right.
My good. Enemies!
Good. Okay. So, Groz, with a 38 total for initiative, is going first. Boy. He's got a plus 20, man.
Yeah, he does.
And when I rerolled, he got an 18.
Man, it's so good.
So, Groz is going first. You guys are going to have a decision to make. You should be able to see a little bit in the reveal there that as soon as you fly in, there's a pretty quick choice to make, right or left.
Right.
Now, when I say right or left, I mean right or left of your screen. The ship is flying in from the top of the map,
right.
But right or left of your screen is what I'm asking you.
Left.
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 Three votes for left. We're going left?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, so the coterie can move 3 in its normal movement. Groz also has the option to try to increase the vehicle speed. He is trained in the pilot skills, so he can make a DC 20 pilot check as a swift action to push the vehicle beyond its normal limits. Here's the good news. He has a plus 20 to his pilot. So he literally cannot fail this. It says you can't take 10 on it. I don't care. I can take 20 because, again, he can't fail. This means that he can increase the vehicle speed by 1 square till the end of his next turn. But I am going to roll because for every 5 points that he exceeds, it increases by an additional square.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, so Groz can send this thing flying is basically what I'm telling you.
He
just rolled a 34. So that means, let's see, 20,
6.
5, 30. Yeah, no, 5 total.
Because
it starts at a 3, and he can increase it by 2, right? Because I didn't get to 35. So, yeah, we can move 5 squares, and you guys said you wanted him to go left, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So, 1, 2 to here. At this point, I will reveal to you that ahead of you looks like...
What's a little egg?
Does it look like...
Does it look like we about to
Cody
die?
Cody and I were thinking the same thing.
There we go. It's a straight shot ahead there.
Okay. Why is it trying to focus like one?
1, 2.
Yes, you did.
3, 4, 5. 5 squares of movement there, and that is where Groz will have to end his turn in terms of movement. I can also have him fly defensively if you guys want. You can see now that you're here that at that upcoming corner that there is a defense, like some kind of a turret that's probably going to take a shot. If he flies defensively, you get a plus 5 to your reflex defense, but you'll take a minus 5 on your attacks. It's your call. You can try to blow it up, or you can try to be defensive.
I'd rather try to blow it up, honestly, because that puts us at a minus 10 to attack.
Okay. Yeah. Your call. All right, then with the end of Groz's turn, Iris, you are up next.
Okay. Well, if we're going to try and blow up the turret, that's what I'm gonna do.
Okay. Lasers and torpedoes.
We'll say laser cannon. What?
I'm just doing the dumb laugh. It's fine. I'm not actually laughing at anything. Okay.
All right.
Roll your shot. Shoot your
and
shot.
I am going to aim and shoot.
Tanner, sing us some shoot your shot. Don't shoot your shot. Don't miss your shot.
Or not.
Don't throw away your shot.
There you go. You'll get there.
Primary.
Okay.
It's getting close.
Yes, it's real. Oh. It's close.
Hold on, hold on. Hamilton's breaking down.
Oh, that's a shitty roll.
That I is, only got that a 20. That is indeed a miss, for the record.
Yep, and I can't do anything else. I got no force points and no lucky shots to redo. Yep.
Okay. I mean, in flavor to me, it would be that basically you guys were surprised to find internal defenses. It was not something you guys expected, especially considering this thing is still under construction. It just doesn't seem like they would do that. But the Empire apparently planned for this kind of contingency. So, noted. So, nothing else?
That's all I got.
All right. Next in line, then, would be Harani at a 23.
Oh, God. Is there anything I can do?
You can, I mean, you can still pilot right now, considering Graz is piloting. You can use your move action as a co-pilot.
All right, Where is this turret at again?
It's right in, if you're looking at the map, it's right here, like, in this corner. So it occupies that square, effectively.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what to do. Because the only thing I can think of is fly defensively, but then we're once again stuck. Can I move forward? Just get a better view of what's going on?
Yeah, the ship's got a speed of 3, so you can move it as well.
Well, I didn't know if that, like, I'm not sure how it works with turrets. Like, is it, if I get too close, is there a penalty? You know what I mean?
No, you can, it's small enough. It's, the size would be considered, well, I don't know what the size would be because we're at starship scale, but the size would be small enough that you can move through it square. It occupies, like, the corner of that square.
Okay, then we're going
to. Things have to be able to move through that area, so.
Harani's going to get on the comms and tell everybody get their guns ready. We're pushing past, and she's going to punch it forward.
Okay. You gonna go the normal speed of 3?
Yeah.
Okay. So then that will put you 1-2, at which point I will reveal the next part, because there's no choice to make there. It only goes one direction to the left. And that is going to lead pretty good distance. A long space ahead of you there, a long open corridor with what looks like a couple of diversions. You're also going to get an additional one that'll move you to 3 if you go the full speed of the ship.
Okay.
To be fair, you also, for the record, can do the increased vehicle speed that Graz is doing, but you make a pilot check. It's a swift action. You can try to push an additional speed. If you fail it, it causes the vehicle to move a step on down a condition track, but you have a plus 18. It's a DC 20.
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
We're going to push it forward a little bit more.
Roll it up.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Yeah. There we go. That's a 35.
Okay, nice. So that means you can push the ship an additional 1, 2, 3 squares.
Let's do it.
Okay. Flying fast. 3 squares down. You're up on the edge of a turn there. You cannot see around it, though. So you have one directly in front of you and one further down the corridor. But that is as far as you'll be able to get on that particular turn, at which point it is... time. You guys can hear through your comms and through the kind of heat of battle behind you, not actually in the ship, the sounds of some starships following you in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 TIE fighters are screaming in through that open space in the back. I'm going to make a couple of movements here. Ooh. There.
While he's doing that, I want to say that one of my absolute favorite noises in movie history is the sound of a TIE fighter.
Mm-hmm. That just screeching.
That screech. That scream. It is iconic.
Yep. And it is hard to replicate, too. It's not one of those things you can just make the sound of.
One of
Michael
those,
Winslow could probably do it, but that's about it.
It's one of those combo sound effect noises of blending of different things.
Yeah. Yep. The TIE fighters, for the record, though, are as far as they can get for this round. So while you have an idea based on radar and such that there are some incoming ships, they are not quite catching up to you all that quickly. So, all right, movements made there. Then, Kruskog, you are last in the list, buddy.
That's no surprise. I mean, at this point, all the really action I have is... because I can't really ready an action because it would go to the top of the initiative order, but... I mean, essentially, I'm going to just be aiming down the sights and be ready for what's coming around that corner because I hear them coming as well.
You could still shoot at that turret, couldn't you? That turret's still there.
Am I in range there?
Yeah, good mention to make, too, that there's also one of those at the end of this corridor.
Oh, well, then I'm going to have some fun with that one. At least I'm certainly going to try.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? I bought
all better than I did.
I bought missiles, guys. Let's use them.
I spent that money.
Ronnie out here actually trying to get some shit done, and everybody else treating this like an RPG. Like, yes. Like, I got 99 elixirs.
I gotta hold on to them.
I might need them.
Gotta hold on to them.
What if I need them after this?
Let's pop that.
I mean,
first
it's a four square burst damage. I would rather have more than one target that it's bursting on.
I'm about to burst on you if you stop. If you keep raining on my parade, I'm sorry.
Parade.
I'm sorry.
My pomade. I don't know what direction.
Did you ask Steven for some pomade? Because you know he's got it all.
He's got the empire. Pomade empire. Yes, that's what that's what the girls see when they live next to Bob. Yes.
You blind.
It hopes that there's something around that corner. I'm going to just shoot a photon or a proton torpedo. Damn it, we got me messed
photons.
Up. We got me messed up for the pre-show. Well, nope, I'm not hitting shit.
God,
that's an 18.
Damn it.
I told, dude.
But wait, hey, since it's a torpedo, do they take like half damage or something?
It's half damage. Yeah, it's a splash damage.
See?
Thing.
See?
Kruskog had one good moment last episode, and you know damn well
no,
that's the one good thing he's going to get.
Wait, because that's
the rule.
Just like the
that's
other,
the rule.
Yeah,
just
it
read.
Hangs in the air. Yeah. It doesn't, yeah. So the torpedo is still there. It's either going to fizzle out or whatever. So
I feel like the SNL skit. I'm thinking like, I wish I hadn't told you my name. I wish I hadn't told you that was in the book.
Yeah, so no damage roll needed for now because it has not blown up yet. Okay, that is the end of round one, which went very quickly. Back to the top of the order, Groz is retaking the controls. He can either turn left or continue on down the corridor. What do you guys want to do?
I'd take that turn.
Yeah, take
we
the turn.
We want to run into our own torpedo.
That might not be the worst idea. So we're taking the turn?
Yeah.
We take the turn.
All right. Now let's see how many spaces he can put. I forgot that was a DC 20. He literally can't fail this. Even with a 1, he can't fail it.
Oh,
all right.
Thank God.
So
we were all about to
meet. It's a skill check.
We were all about to meet Sigurd in that great Jedi temple in the sky.
You can't crit fail a skill check. Skill yep. check. So, I mean, he succeeds, and you can push he can push it one more square. So it's going to move 4 squares. So we're going left?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right.
So everything I own in a box left.
Up one, at which point we'll see that this is a hairpin turn that has a couple of different directions. This will put you to 2.
Right.
And then he has 2 more to go, right. Left or right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. All right.
I swear to God, we
can
either go the other way.
3...
At any point when we're making decisions, can we look into the Force and ask for guidance?
If it becomes necessary.
Okay.
Oh, good.
And then 4 is as far as you guys can go. So at 4, you can now see that this thing has only one other direction for you to go from there, which means you're going to have to hairpin turn again down another short little corridor there.
I'm sitting here picturing us screaming at Sigurd to get off his ghost ass and tell us something.
Sigurd's just sipping ghost tea.
That's not the picture I put there, you stupid thing. It didn't save my settings, you jerk.
Sigurd.
Groz has done everything he can do. Good to see you. Groz has done everything he can do. Harani, you're up. I mean, not Harani, Iris, sorry. Iris, there is another of those mobile turrets placed right around. Why is it not doing it? Do the thing. It's right here in that corner.
And if I got something threatening us, I'm going to take a shot at it. So
okay.
That's how she lives in real life, too. That's why we can't walk
classic.
On the street.
Don't mean. I am aiming at it and taking a shot. Let's see if I can get a better roll this time.
33. Better roll. Good to see.
That's a better roll. That's a hit.
All right.
Coral.
All right. Coral. And that was with the laser cannon.
OD 10 times 2.
Yep.
Torpedoes, man.
Well, don't worry. If luck is on our side, those TIE fighters will just smack into it coming around a corner.
Luck be a lady tonight.
I just said it there like a bad like proximity mine. Goldeneye.
5d10 multiplied by 2. 46.
Kaboom. It blows up.
Hey!
I did something useful.
We can't use actual sound effects. We'll get in trouble. So.
Bam, bam, sound bam.
I think is what I said. Anything else?
All right. That is
aim,
it.
So that's it.
Yes.
Veronica, you can't say bam, bam, because that's a Hanna-Barbera license. So you're going to get a suit there, too.
Excuse me. I'm up, I believe.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go forward. Go forward and turn right.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to push it more.
Yep. You got 3 squares already. So I 29. Can give you 1, 2. Okay. Yeah. So that'll give you an additional 1, 2. So 1, 2, you get 3 more from here. This immediately shoots downward. And in fact...
Oh, I bet there's a Sith. Oh, okay.
No, you found it. You found the exit.
Hey!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is as far as you can get. You are at an open crossroads here, but that's as far as you can get in this round.
Wait, exit from, like, the ship?
Exit from the interior toward the reactor core.
Son of a bitch. Harati just... She feels Sigurd. She feels him guiding her hands as she's going around. She doesn't know.
It's like that scene from Ghost. So instead of Potter, he's just helping him to join the
pilot. All right. Lightsaber defense.
Okay. you can still hear on the comms that the ties are throwing their weight around back there. They're on the move. Let's see.
Mo.
Oh, he does get to move an additional. Oh, I don't know. Mo.
No, I hate you all because I've got Henry VIII. I am stuck in my head.
I am whatever you say I am. There you go, Cody.
That'll probably sue us.
That
fine.
One's for free. Cody, you excited for that Slipknot cross smite joint?
Yeah, seeing how much I've played Smite, which is 0 hours and 0 minutes, I am ecstatic.
Kruskog, you are up. I guess I should probably reveal, because you guys can see it at this point. There is, you know, like I said, you're at a crossroads here. There are 2 other directions there. And there are, once again, turrets. There's one here and one there at that corner.
I'll aim at the left. So I'll aim over here.
Okay.
Tell me, is the torpedo inside, or did it just stall out before the corner?
It's the start of your turn, and no one hit it, so it stalled out somewhere. Okay. It went out with a whimper.
Yeah. Then I won't waste one of those again for a minute. Let's go ahead and shoot the laser. And pew pew. Yep. Kruskog back to his good old ways.
You're just waiting for the important.
You haven't used the Coterie's guns yet. You're getting the feel for them.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, in the final assault, when everyone should be accustomed to weapon systems.
Look, fighting was never your thing. All
right. No, you're right.
Whimpering.
May I please negotiate with the laser? Can I see the laser and negotiate with it?
Kruskog, focus. Clear your mind.
I swear.
To roll again.
Well, I'll be damned. It's better. It's 25.
That's a hit. That's a hit.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. That's lovely.
That was great. The next time we look for Sigurd, Sigurd's like, sorry, guys, I gotta charge back up.
Right.
My cooldown hasn't hit yet.
Hold on, wait, hold on.
He's breaking down.
He's cooling down.
He's cooling
down.
40 damage.
Yeah, it explodes. Kaboom. Explosion. As a matter of fact, as that happens, you see a tie come screaming around the corner, but it's taken aback by this explosion, and boom, it also basically wrecks right into the side of that. This is really the first time you've seen how deadly these super tight corridors can be, because Graz and Harani have been working like a well-oiled machine. Even these TIE fighters don't know what to do when some insanity like that happens. They weren't expecting that explosion, and it goes up in flames at that moment.
Nice.
Anything else?
Nope, not right now.
Nope, all right. Pig.
Then we're going to get back to the top of the order, and I think you can expect what Kroz is going to do. Goodbye. right off the map. And that is effectively the end of that encounter. So real quick, so that you guys can see, I'm just going to show you that this is one of the more unique.
Is it just a big old crazy grid?
Kind of. It's one of the more unique maps I've had to put together because the one I had did not fit on here. So I actually had to draw all of this. I drew those squares in black and then filled it in. What actually was happening in the background, though they never caught up to you, was this.
I was wondering if they were coming from the other direction. That's where my brain was because that opened.
When they entered the ship, two of them went left and two of them went right, and one of them, let me highlight him real quick. This poor bastard right here, he'll never get out. He's lost.
That's where he lives.
His
name is Ryoga. He is directionally challenged.
Oh, now it's
this
a hate
one
crime.
Just
Thanks.
Slammed into the side of the thing, and it's a whole deal. So yeah, you guys deftly maneuvered around them in the end.
Well, we had a friend helping us. Wink.
A little bit. Yeah, a little assistance.
A little Siski.
A little Siski.
We have the tools. We have the talent.
Okay. I gotta look up some stuff here. Sorry. I wasn't expecting that to go quite that quickly, but I'm glad it did.
Right?
We
made good choices.
Nah, it's only taken us however many freaking episodes.
Okay, so as everyone, again, is working well in sync, suddenly Graz and Hirani in particular can see, and of course Iris and Kruskog, you guys can see on your targeting computers, that those narrow corridors in the superstructure all of a sudden just open up wide. If you will direct your attention to roll 20. Kaboom.
Oh my.
Yeah. Oh crap, I just realized I didn't put the coterie on here. Hang on a second. Hold on, I'm breaking down.
He's breaking down, guys.
I'm going to go copy it from this one. The coterie's not on there, right? I'm not just missing it?
No, nope. I don't see
it.
Okay. All right. I didn't think so.
Break it down.
I got ready.
I mean, no one ever sued Jimmy Hart. I'm sure we could bomb that one for a few bars. Jim Johnson's not there anymore.
He won't give a shit.
There it is. And the squares are a little off, but you get the idea. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and start you guys in the actual space there. Okay, so this huge cavernous chamber opens up. At the center of it is, of course, the main reactor. You can see the shield, the deflector shield, flaring to life around it. So laser fire, is not going to do it. There are TIE fighters that you suspect are going to be nipping at your flanks if you hang around too long. There's also a squadron of them already in place inside here. At this point, it is only a matter of who takes down their target first. This is it. This one is for all the marbles, right? We do, however, have to re-roll initiative.
Initiative, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're starting up fresh here. Ugh. Is that re-roll every encounter?
Yep. Let's see
Fuck.
Here.
That sucks. That's
oh,
worse.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Tony, that's worse.
Yeah, literally, it's allies within 12 squares can choose to re-roll initiative.
Ooh,
at the start
I am
of combat,
re-rolling.
But you must
you
keep
take
second
the second one, don't you?
I'm also re-rolling. 28. That's better than 23.
It's also better than Graz's 26.
Ugh. 23.
Hey.
Kruskog rolled a long time ago, and it is a 16, so,
Oh, Kruskog, please.
The boy goes last. We know. That's what his destiny in life, beyond all other destinies in this game, Kruskog goes last.
Good.
Course,
you were just watching and waiting.
Of course.
Always be closing.
Fans of plays, regardless of what happens tonight, all I can say is that next coming soon in the future, maybe we'll be trading in these lightsabers for a little bit of steel.
Ooh, steel.
Steel.
Steel. All right, that's enough of that shit.
Yep.
Ventrilo harassment.
Okay.
Three, two.
All right. So, Hirani, you are first on the list here.
No.
But you are. You know good and well, again, just by looking at this, that the blaster fire is not going to cut it. Those torpedoes are going to be necessary.
Yeah.
But other than that, the thing is wide open. Somebody's just got to take the shot. What would you like to do?
Well, she's going to, just for flavor's sake, she's going to get on her comm and say that forget the blaster fire. You got to hit the torpedoes.
Okay.
I feel like sitting here like this is going to make us a, well, we want to stay.
You got to move somewhere.
Well, we want to stay close. Yeah, because they're behind us too. All right. I'm going to go right.
Okay.
Like if I could.
Tell me roughly where you want to end up here.
So it's three squares,
you got three
right?
squares of movement without doing anything, yeah.
Well, she's going to punch it, of course. No, I don't think I need to, honestly, at this point. Well,
so do you. I think the only way you could fail is if you rolled a 1. Because it's DC 20. But that it uses your swift action. So if you're going to use it for something else, then by all means.
I have nothing else to use it on. As far
completely
as I know.
Completely up to you.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and use it. Let's do it. It's for all the marbles, so...
Put that sublight engine to test. Okay, so now you have a total of 5 squares of movement to work with.
All right, so I'd like to push up and behind one of the TIE fighters, basically. Well, the torpedo would go through the TIE fighter. It would hit the TIE fighter. It wouldn't go through it, wouldn't it? We need a clear shot.
Yes, the TIE fighter is going to cause interference.
Gotcha.
Gonna block line of effect.
Then can I go up 1, 2, 3? Up 3 and then right 2.
So you want to end here, effectively?
Yeah.
Technically, that only costs you 4 squares of movement because you can move diagonally. So you have one more if you want it.
Then can I go diagonally up to the left? One more.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're just going straight into them. Balls to the wall.
Yeah, I like it. Looks like you're going right at the reactor, and at the last second, you turn toward the TIE fighter to keep it engaged.
And then that's it. And that's it for me. No.
Okay. So Groz is up next, but he's another movement. Iris, you are directly after him. Do you guys want Groz to delay?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
In fact, Rondi's going to say, fine. Groz, let her take the shot.
Okay. Iris, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to get the torpedoes ready and aim at the reactor and take a shot.
Photon torpedoes.
Do it.
21. That's a shitty roll.
That is a miss.
Don't you have a destiny point?
Yeah. I do. Do we want to use it this early?
I mean, this is the destiny, Lindsay. This is your destiny.
All right, I'll use the destiny point on it.
This is our density.
Iris, focus. You can do this.
Maybe the last person who expected that. I don't want to say like anything, you know, based on their relationship or anything, but Iris is not, you know, big on the force so much. It's luck, right? For probably the first time ever, there's no denying it. There's no denying this is not just some random chance. Like you definitively hear Sigurd's voice in your head. You take a breath, close your eyes, release it, punch it, and the torpedo flies forward, smashes right through the shield. Roll damage.
So since that's a crit hit.
Oh yeah, you don't have to roll damage. It's maximum damage.
Yeah.
It's a maximum damage doubled. On Starship Combat, criticals doubles
not for
the
us.
Damage. Okay,
that's every
fine.
That's the rule that we changed.
Okay,
all critical damage is supposed to be doubled. Yeah,
sounds good.
We changed the rule from double to maximum.
Gotcha. Yep. That's I was just reading stuff in the book earlier, so
we don't need any rules.
So that's 180 damage.
Aimed. Yeah, that's a that's still let's see here. 11d10. A 100 damage.
Oh yeah, you didn't have to roll.
No, it's maximum.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Max
so
damage.
Yeah, it was. So yeah,
the maximum amount of damage. I thought you were just doing the math.
I just wanted to see all the dice.
So it's
that's
actually.
Fair. I understand that completely.
So how much damage is that at max?
180. 90 times 2.
Cool.
And I aimed, so it's technically 10d10.
So 200.
So it's 200 damage.
God.
Well, first of all, that's definitely the most damage anyone has done in a single round in the game.
Let's give it up for Lindsay, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give
very it up much. For, yeah. And if anybody was going to do it, I anticipated it would be her.
Yeah,
it's
going to be her.
Iris hits harder than Groz. Groz might hit more consistently, but Iris hits harder every freaking time.
She punches.
That's because I made a point to take all those bonus feats.
Basically, Harani flies forward. The TIE fighters start closing in, and it looks like that she's going to like fly directly into it. They're thinking she's making a kamikaze run. At the last second, she veers right, which forces the TIEs out of the way. Iris calls, or Harani calls out for Iris to take the shot. She holds Groz back. Iris takes the shot, closes her eyes, hears Sigurd, drops the torpedo. It punches right through the shield, and the whole thing, it's almost like you hear that like deafened sound. Like it implodes first, and then the explosion starts outward. The reactor is destroyed.
Yeah. Effectively.
Now it's time to run.
Cheat code.
Because this whole thing is coming down. So I assume that's the end of your turn because you aimed, right?
Yep.
All right.
Go, Groz.
Groz is going to
throw a UE and go.
Yep. So he's going to get at least one, two, three additional squares of movement. So that'll put him up to six. What is it? One. I can't see very well. Two, three, four, five. Yeah, it gets you off the map. Six will get you off the map. That's it. Punch right in.
Those TIE fighters
explode the reactor.
Are just like, what the hell was that?
They have no idea what happened. The coterie moved so fast they had no chance to actually move in and do any damage in the process. And in fact, they're currently being wiped out by the spreading explosion from the reactor.
Damn, he was two days away from retirement too.
All of them were, actually.
This is their last shift.
They were all new recruits.
They were all saying it simultaneously. As the coterie goes screeching back into those tunnels, of course, you know the way out because you were able to map it on the way in. That being said, you can almost literally feel the flames like coming up behind you. They're starting to envelop the cockpit. I need a pilot roll from Harani, and I need a pilot roll from Groz.
Oh, that's not good.
Of all time.
It's a skill check.
That's true, right? You can't.
It is. I mean, it is, yeah, but you also have a force point.
Yeah, I want to use it. I want to use it.
Put that out there.
I want to use it.
I think you should.
Oh, 3d6, right? Or 3d8, I forget.
3d6 and 3D6. It's 3d6 and take the highest.
So I'll take the I'll six. Six. Hunter, Hunter, I want the six.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Harani makes the first attempt because you were already sort of piloting. And it works out well enough. You're able to bank through, do like a quick sort of barrel roll to get through one of the areas and around the defenses, which are still shooting. But now that fire is just jetting down those.
She's panicking.
It's jetting down those corridors. At the last second, Groz now, whereas you before you stopped, he reaches over, takes control, and throws it into gear. And sure enough, is able to punch right out past those flames, which go flying out behind you like a flamethrower. The rest of Blue Squadron, you hear the cheer start coming over the comms. It looks like pretty much everyone has survived. They've been dogfighting those TIE fighters on the outside. A lot of other smuggler fleet ships are down, but Blue Squadron is holding on tight, and now they can see that everything is pretty much going to hell, for lack of a better term, on the inside there. At the last second, you punch through there, everyone cheers. Racing to a safe distance, the TIE fighters are scrambling. The rest of the Imperial fleet is scrambling. The interdictor ship, the one that was keeping everyone from jumping to light speed, bursts into an explosion as somebody drops a series of bombardments on it. It's Jaxijo. He's dropping bombs from that B-wing onto the surface of it, and the whole antenna goes up in that moment. Admiral Varth comes over your comms for just a split second, and before he has time to say anything, you see an explosion send him forward into his screen, which cracks it. His comms immediately crackle back to static. At the last second, Aldrete comes through and says, "Punch it now, hyperspace, go." And she's just like shouting commands overward. Groz reaches over Harani, makes the last second calculations, and all the remaining ships from the smuggler fleet jump to light speed. The ship explodes behind them as every other ship takes off. The Sarlacc project goes down, and anyone who is remaining is left done. And that's it. At the end of that hyperspace jump, well, actually, hang on. I don't want to go right past all of that yet. as the everyone kind of breathes a collective sigh, sweat on your brow, everyone's able to stop for just a minute. What would you like to do as you make this final hyperspace jump?
Urshkog's just sitting in the gunner seat, just looking into the void of space as the stars start to accelerate in his view. And he just has a brief moment of seeing Sigurd and Dinia. He knows that, that sacrifices made led to this point. Hearing the voice helped to achieve what he has spent months under the tutelage of Senator Organa to accomplish, and that's all he can see is the stars accelerate.
Harani is going to look over at Graz and smile at him. One of those good old-fashioned, old-school, like, legitimately happy smiles, and just say, not bad for a couple of outcasts, huh?
Iris, for the first time in, like, who knows how long, actually, like, relaxes back into the chair, and any tension that's in her is, like, gone, and she just relaxes for once.
For the record, a quick jump back to the pilot, to the cockpit, shows Graz, like, trying to smile, but it's that weird kind of, like, Wookiee smile. It doesn't really look right.
Harani shakes her head.
And then you see his paw go up toward his chest. Toward the... I am hungry. I am hungry. Toward the box. As this comes to an end, when you drop out of hyperspace, it's near Alderaan, but immediately ships start dispersing. Bail Organa comes over comms and says that effectively he, of course, cannot express how much he appreciates your efforts and is willing to do anything he can to help you. But for now, there can be no medal ceremony. There can be no immediate celebration because the Empire is going to know who had a hand in this and who was on top of it. And so best that we celebrate later at a time that you know, is safer for all of us, because all you've done today is make the galaxy safer for everyone else. So you'll get your commendations in time. But for now, be safe, be well, and stay hidden. And he drops comms immediately. What would you guys like to do?
Would it be okay if we landed on Alderaan and just kind of gathered ourselves, or we,
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Absolutely. The Coterie takes off, from space into the atmosphere of Alderaan, and actually for the first time in a long time, the camera does not follow it. And the screen for effect fades to black. It's time for you guys to tell everyone what happens to your heroes in the aftermath of the Dawn Defiance campaign.
Well, first, Cody, I need you to check your messages because I need your approval on something. While he's doing that, just as the first, one of two for me is we're on Alderaan. Everyone's safe. Everyone's kind of celebrating in their own way. And Harani is back in Sigurd's chambers, just going through his things. Kind of getting them together, you know, preparing them, boxing them up, basically. It's that sad scene where this person's gone and something has to be done with it. And as she's going through his stuff, she finds his other lightsaber that he had stored on the ship whenever we had gone down and he only took one with him. And she kind of sees it and holds it and smiles. And then that fades momentarily, and I'll let Lindsay go from there.
Oh, okay, let me do my whole spiel.
Hold on,
Tanner. Yeah. Did you have something you want to add to that?
As she picks up the lightsaber, the voice of Sigurd kind of chimes in. You know, I am so proud of the growth that you had this in. You were able to clear your head enough to recognize these things, and what you and everybody else here did is you sparked a rebellion. What I hope for you from here on out is that you continue this training. You know, seek out the help of someone to help you finish the training that my brother was unable to finish because of everything. You know, do that for Crade, do that for me. you know, go out there and be that light that the universe needs.
She just looking at each other, and we'll come back to it. Well, actually, I guess we could finish it up real quick, because I don't know what Cody has planned beyond this, but basically, Harani is going to go to Kruskog, and she is actually, this is however much time later, she is actually in Sigurd's robes that she took after he died, to put it morbidly, and had them refitted to her body, because there was a small size difference, if I could be honest with you, between Sigurd and Harani. And she tracks down Kruskog and with sincere eyes asks him to teach her that she doesn't want to be this monster that she feels like she was turning into. She wants to do good by the universe, and she knows he's the only one that can help her. And she wants to learn the ways of the Force.
Kruskog, who admittedly in ignoring Organa's orders has stayed relatively nearby Alderaan. He started this entire endeavor to spark the rebellion as someone in service of the de facto leader of this rebellion in Bail Organa, and he wouldn't feel it right to leave him after executing this plan. So if you find him or you reach out to him while he's with Organa, he's going to look at Senator Bail and say, I think for now my work is done here. We have others like me who I hope to help rebuild what has so viciously been taken away and build back better this time. There were mistakes made, and I think that we will be needed to finish what this has started. So he's gonna look at Harani and say, yes, I may not be the best master you have, may not be the best master there was, but I'll be the best I can be. And seeing what we've seen in recent months, I think I can expect the same of you. He will make one request, which is perhaps let's change the name and color of that crystal that you have inside your weapon there. It's been a powerful weapon, but hopefully killer with that prefix isn't what we're going for anymore.
Oh, no, she got rid of that one. I don't remember what happened to that one, but she does have a red lightsaber. It's actually Krayt's. Yeah. So she has Krayt's red lightsaber and Sigurd's blue lightsaber. And she kind of shakes her head and says that no, she needs the blue and the red, because there is always going to be that darkness inside of her, that duality of her life. And this, what better way to represent it and to be true to herself and to honor the memory of those that she lost than to keep the blue and the red? But she won't use it for evil. That's a promise.
Both have taught you lessons. Both have shown you the dichotomy of this force in which we are a part. I understand. Let us begin.
Somewhere in the background, Graz has a set of Kruskog's extra robes. Oh, they're way too small. Oh, like, way too small. And he has like a little acetylene torch that he's holding like this, and he looks and steps in and goes and like keeps lighting it and then keeps looking at Kruskog.
Harani's gonna tell Kruskog 1 second. She runs over to Graz and just like, so we saved the galaxy, buddy. What do you want to do now?
For the first time, he's actually speechless, and you just see Graz kind of shrug his shoulders and go. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what to do. He's never known a life. I've given him too much dialogue, but he's never known a life that wasn't, you know, combat. He came into this as a soldier. He came out of it as a person. You know, for the first time, he really has like a family and a home and you know, people to care about. He doesn't know what to do with that.
Hey, Peanut just came in and read us all that.
Yeah, Peanut can translate. Yeah. For once in his damn life,
he finally translates every bit of that.
Yeah. Harani.
There's Harani, and then he just explains it all.
Well, you don't. I mean, you could do whatever you want now. You don't want to follow me and Kruskog and just watch us train, do you? Isn't that going to be boring?
He looks very excited about the prospect of that.
Harani looks back at Kruskog and shrugs her shoulders and points at Graz.
I've encountered crazier creatures in this life adventure in this life so far.
Do you want to be a Jedi too?
It turns out he was actually just trying to get someone to teach him to use the damn torch.
Because he's trying to heat food.
He keeps using it wrong and doing the wrong stuff.
But glad that Harani's here because Trukog isn't the one to do it.
Well, maybe, perhaps. I'm going to go to Iris. Maybe she can help with that. Iris, what about you?
Iris has finally admitted to herself that she is full in on this rebellion, despite what she was taught growing up entirely, that as a Bothan, you always put yourself first, followed by your family before any other family, and your clan before any other clan. But she sees the bigger picture of what needs to happen in this world. And so she lets her friends know, they know how to contact her if they need her. But otherwise, she's going to continue to help out the rebellion. Since obviously being in contact with Organa isn't always the easiest, she has a little bit more of talking with Lady Eldreet as a go-between.
Sure.
And when things start to get a little hairier, she makes a point of going home and taking that chance of talking to the other Bothans in the spy net, letting them know, yes, you're neutral. I know you play both sides. But at some point, you are going to become the bigger threat to this empire, and at that point, you will be enslaved and then destroyed. So just keep that in mind on where you're going. And then she's going to continue helping out with missions, gathering information. And then in the long run, as sad as it may be, she is one of the ones that perishes, bringing the last of the information for the second Death Star.
Yeah. I like it. Working in the shadows that entire time. She's always a part of that collective. Sigurd, through the Force, what do you see?
I see some darkness ahead, many years of fighting, and a slight glimmer of hope coming. Obviously, In my head, I hope that this is Harani. Harani is that spark of hope in the future, or that she's at least a part of it. But I see my friends here going to do great things. Wanting to be there with them, even in spirit like this, you know, hoping that I can be here to help guide them at some point in time when they need it. Because these weren't just teammates. These weren't just, you know, soldiers I was working with. This group became a family. So Sigurd's spirit's going to be with them along with the Force. He's, you know, that Force that's with them also includes Sigurd. He's going to be with them.
Yeah. Anything else from Harani and Kruskog? How far out do you want to take it?
If there was, I don't know if you have anything planned after it, but just a final scene for us where it's sometime later, they've said goodbye to Iris, she's gone and done her thing, she's doing her thing, and you just see... Well, that's what I was going to say. So the cockpit of the Midnight Coterie, you see Harani and Graz and Kruskog standing behind them, and Harani turns back to Kruskog and says, okay, where do we go from here? And then before you can answer, behind them you see Narada and Ridley both sitting just the most awkwardly punk way in their chairs, just Narada popping bubblegum and Ridley going, yes, where are we going, because I'm effing bored. and Harani just looks at Kruskog and says, where to?
Force needs us.
She punches it and they
blast off into hyperspace, out into the outer rim, theoretically, where they are likely never heard from again in the known galaxy. They head off into parts unknown. All of their names are remembered, whispered as heroes among the resistance, among the Empire, feared. These are the people who face down Darth Vader, and that gets out sooner or later. It is made mention that he is fallible, that the Empire is fallible, and that one day it can be brought down. But not today, though it was very close, and this was the first crack in the armor. And that's it. Roll credits. The very last thing I would say, it would cut back to find that when Groz, it literally picks up right where everyone took off when Groz let out that last little call, Peanut actually interrupts again for the first time in a long time and says, "No one else caught that?"
"Caught what, Peanut?"
He said, "Grozin isn't his name. He's been trying to tell you that for a long time now. His name is Parker." That's the post credit scene.
Oh, that almost brought a tear to my eye. I'm not gonna lie.
That's you good. Asked me a few days ago what I was gonna do with him, and you remember I told you I got it. I know exactly what I'm gonna do. It had been a little while building, but that's what I wanted to do.
I made a stupid reference and said that he should have said his name was actually Chewbacca. And Hunter was like, Hunter said, he's like, "Oh, yep, there, I got it." And I was like, "No, don't use that. That's a terrible idea." And he's like, "No, I'm not doing that."
No, that's not him. Okay. Oh, guys, that's it.
God damn.
It's not just the end of the show. I'm breaking out. I'm breaking around out from the GM role. That's it. That's all we got.
I cannot believe that we did that.
Congratulations to you guys. This has been a really, again, I've said it on the last show that we did, where we kind of did the retrospective and the look back. This has been the most successful campaign I've ever run, and I, not that I've run a ton of them, don't get me wrong, but I have been doing this in some form or fashion for over 20 years at this point, and this is the one that's the benchmark now. This is where it is. So.
And you finally got to fully run this story now.
Finally got to run through the whole thing.
And what a great story. I mean, the twists and turns. And the final chapter, this final chapter has been such a roller coaster and movie-like.
Brought it all back, man.
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, really did.
My only question for you is, did you expect that to go so fast?
Kind of. I mean, I knew there was part of it that would go fast. So, as we do sometimes to pull back the curtain, there's a third encounter that's included in that. You were supposed to have to fight your way into the Star Destroyer. But I thought it was just too damn cool that the entirety of Blue Squadron was there and they would be the ones to keep them off your back. So I thought, I don't really want to get into all of that. But the TIE fighters had some ability to engage in dogfighting. And so basically they were going to try to lock you down. Had the ones in the first encounter gotten close enough to you, they would have been able to do so and delay your progress a little bit, do some damage to the ship. Had the second ones had a chance to act at all, they would have done that. But you guys rolled so high on initiative, you literally rolled in, took the shot, and got out.
Yeah, that could have been
any better. That core had next to nothing in the way of a reflex defense because it didn't need it. Right. You know, plus a remaining destiny point to destroy.
Oh my god! Yeah, so
damage. I mean, come on, man.
This is the last time we're doing this show, like for this story. Let's just go back on this. So, between Sigurd helping Kruskog take that shot against that drone,
and succeeding,
and then of Iris having one destiny point left.
Exactly what you
to
need.
Shoot that torpedo like it yep. could
hung
not
onto it for a reason.
and you didn't want to use
it. If you flavor it as Kruskog using that using a force point to tap into Sigurd there, I didn't. In case you needed it, but if you flavor it that way, you guys literally used up everything you had.
Yeah, because Harani had to
have been off the table.
She had to use a force point to also have Sigurd help her and Groz. Oh,
by the way, that pilot check you made on the way out there. It literally says in the module, two pilot checks must be made, a DC 25 and a DC 31. If either one fails, the ship explodes. You're caught in the explosion, you guys die, and that's the whole thing.
Holy shit.
True story. I didn't want to belie that, but like legitimately, had you failed either, you needed a 6. Because Groz had a 19, and he took the higher check. He rolled a 19 plus a 20 was 39, the other one's a 31. Had you not hit that, the ship would have exploded. Wow. And I was fully prepared to be like, that's it. You go down as martyrs.
I mean, that would have been a fitting ending too, but I like this one better.
We would have had our Rogue One moment.
The module is ruthless, man. I mean, it literally has a section at the end that's like, what happens if they fail? That's set off to the side. That's like, you know, this assumes that your heroes succeed. If they don't, they die as martyrs. You can use this as a hook for another campaign. That's it. That's all there is.
So just to rewind here, what happened? Hirani, as Kruskog is teaching Hirani with Sigurd watching over them off somewhere in the distance, because they're going to help rebuild the Jedi in some way, starting with Hirani. Graz is going to eat a lot. Parker. Parker is going to eat a lot. With Sigurd watching over them, Iris went on to become a hero in the shadows before she made the ultimate sacrifice, just like Sigurd did, for the better of everyone else. And if you've ever watched episodes 4, 5, and 6, you kind of know what happens from there. And 7, 8, and 9, but you can skip those.
Right. That's something that we haven't talked about in a long time, but again, this takes place before the beginning of A New Hope, so that's what to know about that.
Yeah. So I was going to say, like, I appreciate the pivot you made, because I'm like, it's a nice ending for Kruskog, but do we want to get into what the alternate reality is for Kruskog?
Yeah. So Order 66 has already taken place, so it's not like he has to worry about that so much.
Don't worry. Unfortunately, he doesn't make it much longer. My plan, honestly, was he was going to stay under the guidance of Organa doing the missions he needed.
Alderaan.
I was going to be on Alderaan when it happened.
Oh,
I had a feeling that was going to be,
That was my thought, because I mean,
to be fair, that could still happen. The Coterie could absolutely make its way back to Alderaan at some point in time for a stealth kind of reconnaissance type thing, drop you there as somebody who knows the planet, and then around that time, as it heads back out to the Outer Rim, find that the whole thing goes up.
And then Hirani gets more trauma to her life.
Hirani's story was going to end very differently originally. Originally, my plan was I was going to turn her full bad guy. I wanted her to be the bad guy in the end. I thought she would just keep going darker and darker, but it was honestly Tanner's sacrifice that changed my mind on the whole thing. Yeah. And after that point, I wanted her to go the opposite way and be a source of goodness. And with Krayt and Sigurd's lightsabers, like that's good storytelling right there. One blue, one red, and everything she's been through. I mean, literally, you couldn't have written this better if you tried.
Yeah.
It all just worked
out. That's what I love about it. It's one of those things that just came together over time. So, that's it, guys. Any last thoughts before we call it an evening?
Best Star Wars story ever. And legitimately, there's part of me that wants to write. I want to write this out like as a short story. Just
I would love this to see whole thing. It. Yeah, I would read the whole thing beginning to end. Because
there is some really good.
If you want help with it, whatever you need.
Some good damn characters in this story. I mean, it was everyone from us to. I mean, as much as we hate Jesse or as much as we hate Piney, that was a joke. Even the Sex Imperial. Like, there's more to do with him, man. Yeah, it was cool.
I agree. Okay, guys, that's it. That is the end of our first, like, full-fledged, long-term campaign. We have ended a couple of other things here along the way on plays, but that's been the big one for some time now. Sigurd has one more thing.
I got one thing to say, and I want to say this, like, I think my fellow players would agree. Round of applause for Hunter on this one, man. That was great.
The campaign only goes so far without the man pulling the strings and making sure the narrative flows.
And giving us a break every once in a while. We know we did. Yeah.
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 It has been a pleasure. It really has. I've learned more legitimately. DMing is not something that you ever just learn fully how to do. Like you're always kind of learning on the job. And I've learned more with this campaign, I think, than I have anything else I've done in the past, which is equally, like, almost doubly impressive because we've done it all online. This is the one campaign I've ever played in, you know, beginning to end, with that level of link that not one time did we play an actual game in person.
Thanks to COVID. And COVID did something good for once.
Yeah, and I mean, it worked out in the sense that, you know, it would be almost impossible for us to all get together once a week like this and play as often as we do if we had to actually do that in person.
Physically, yeah.
Just look at the, what was that old D&D campaign that took us, what, 9 months for like a 3-episode thing?
Oh, yeah, it went a long time. Even then, I don't think it actually really ended. We never got around to doing any more of it, so...
what's next?
That all, for the record, is going to continue in many different ways. So now that Dawn of Defiance has wrapped up, we're moving away from Star Wars for a little while. We've got lots of things on the horizon. We've got we're going to return to the Horrors of Perryville. We're going to return to the Savage Worlds games that we played a little bit last summer and such. So that is definitely coming around back in the near future. Relatively immediate future, not immediate, but in the nearer future than that, Cody Sandusky is stepping back into the role as GM for a longer campaign than he's gotten in the past. So every time that I've passed the reins off to Cody at the end of different acts of the Dawn of Defiance campaign, we've done some brief Dungeons & Dragons adventures, some D&D 5e adventures, never full campaigns, but just, you know, things that took us 3 episodes. Yeah, little one-shots. But for the first time, we're going to do a more meaty campaign for that. One that I think really fits this group. We've talked about it a little bit. Cody, you want to tell them a little bit about what we're going to be doing?
Yes. If you're familiar at all with the history of Dungeons & Dragons in the 80s, the setting of Ravenloft was created as a great horror setting, much of it akin to the classic horror, if you think the Universal movies of the 40s and 50s. It has your quintessential Dracula-esque character at the peak of it all. The campaign we'll be running is going to take us from levels 1 to 10. It is Curse of Strahd. It is set in that Ravenloft realm. These characters will be becoming quite intimately familiar with one... Baron Strahd von Zarovich. It's going to be fun.
Ukrainian kid.
It's Barovian kid. He will be wearing
Barovian
a mask. The Barovian kid. It's going to be, Hunter said it best, I think, with this group, again, cruelly ironic that the least welcoming to horror and the jumpiest of this entire party is going to be the one running.
That's why you're running it.
Right.
Exactly. You know what's behind you make every the dark scares. Corner.
Yeah. Like,
right, because I'm so talented at that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, as Hunter said, with this group very much being horror-centric, I know between Shannon and myself, especially being huge fans of the world of Castlevania, that's very much an inspiration, and I hope to sprinkle some of that in. So if any of that intrigues you, I do ask in advance that you bear with me, as this is my first long-form campaign. Thankfully, it's module-centric, so I've got some notes to run off of.
Yes.
But that's where we're going, and it's I don't think it's going to run quite long as Dawn of Defiance.
Oh yeah, legally, Lindsay, I can't call my character a Belmont, but
I know.
But Valmont is very close to Belmont, for the record.
That's true. Yeah. No, Shannon, his name is Simon B. No, wait,
that's too obvious.
I mean, or you just flip the M and the B, and you have a Malbot.
Well, did you know in Japan his name was Simon Belmondo?
Belmondo.
So,
yeah,
Belmondo.
Well, perhaps that will come to fruition.
Perchance.
That is, for the record, I have full faith and confidence in Cody, and I'm really excited in this. Because I know it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a great addition to our lineup of things that you'll be able to go back and listen to and enjoy. On the other hand, because, oh boy, I need a break. Pleasure to run, but my God, it has been a year and a half of a campaign that I've been running almost on a weekly basis, and I am ready. Like, every time we took a break, I got so excited because I got to play, and I didn't know what was going to happen next. So I'm really, really, again, equally excited about getting back to getting to do that. Plus, I've never gotten to play Curse of Strahd. I've heard how good it is, and I've never
done anything with the module.
Really excited about that.
I've got a friend from college that it's one of his favorite runs. So
yes, it's one of the all-time like great D&D modules. Yeah. So and settings. Ravenloft's just a great setting.
Oh yeah, it's a killer setting.
So, again, that's going to be starting sometime in June. I don't think we've pinpointed an exact date yet, but sometime pretty much in the next month and change. So in the next few weeks, you'll hear more about when we're going to start that and what to look forward to. In the meantime, while there will be 1 week's worth of break toward the end of the month, and we'll let you know when that's going to happen, we're jumping right into something. I know I'm insane for jumping right out of Dawn of Defiance and right into something new. But what we're jumping into... as Shannon alluded to earlier, is going to be something a little wacky, a little wild. I'm probably not going to play right by the rules, even though I've got a huge book of about 400 pages worth of them right in front of me. I wish I'd thought to bring it upstairs so I could hold it up, but of course then nobody could see it anyway because we're not live. Steel. You guys can see it. Fallout. Modiphius put out a 2D20 Fallout game last year, and I spent most of it, it was almost exactly a year ago, I spent most of the last few weeks of May reading through the PDF and just being obsessed with it because the physical book wasn't out yet. Got it later on in the summer. It's been sitting on my shelf ever since, and I've been wanting to play it. I do definitely want to try to play this in person at some point in time, but we're going to try it here. We're just going to go nuts with it here. I've got a PDF that I've sent links to the guys to check out, and that is something that ideally we're going to start next week.
Finally. I could be an asshole. I could be an asshole again because I'm gonna be Brotherhood of the Steel. Harani was too sweet starting out.
Not a, for the record, long form campaign. This is going to be kind of a one shot. So, like the D&D Adventures with Cody up to this point, I do not anticipate this lasting more than like 4 episodes maximum. I'm thinking it'll probably be somewhere closer to like 2 or 3. But ideally, we will start next week, and that'll carry into to early June. Again, we will take a break in the last week of May. I know Lindsay and I both are going to be in different places that are going to be nowhere near computers to do that kind of thing regularly that week.
I'll be near computers, but internet's going to be kind of sketch. So.
I mean, I'll be here, but I just don't want to do it because I'm basically going to be on vacation. There so.
You go, yeah. Got to get to enjoy that.
Gotta get that.
Sorry.
So that's what's coming your way in the near future. Fallout immediately, again, hopefully starting next week. I don't, unless something comes up, that's the plan. Curse of Strahd after that with Cody. Returning to the Horrors of Perryville sometime, probably over the summer, whenever Cody needs a break in between episodes or something like that. Yep. And we need to jump back into that. Those usually lasted, you know, that 2 or 3, maybe 4.
That shit got weird, man.
She got real weird.
Because like the first one we were investigating a haunted house, I ended up killing a Nazi cop. And the second one
That wasn't even the first one.
What was the first
one? Chickens.
Oh, yeah, God, the chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, giant mutant chickens.
I forgot about the chickens.
Which is still my favorite one. Chickens in the Mist.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite. That's the name of the modules. Chickens in the Mist.
That series got strange. And then we were mutants. Oh, no, man. That shit was straight. Yep. That's awesome. All right.
That's super weird. Yeah. All right. So, guys, lots and lots of good stuff coming up on plays. But for now, tonight, for the last time, we put Dawn of Defiance to bed. So thank you so much for joining us. Remember, later on this week, we still got a lot of great stuff coming up here as well. New PWU tomorrow, Shannon?
Incredible. Yeah, we've got some really, really sad news about the Sunny case. We had a pay-per-view on Sunday, and then is Roman Reigns done with wrestling? We're going to talk about it all tomorrow.
We're going to talk about it now. No, but we'll go into more depth tomorrow. On Thursday, AD is coming back. Lindsay will have a topic that I just reminded her she should be thinking about now.
Now.
And then,
what are you talking about?
No turn back this weekend.
Yeah, yes, no? I don't have any weddings I'm performing. I don't have any wrestling I'm doing. So and there's a lot to talk about there. There's some stuff going on with the Supreme Court you may have heard about, along with some other things we're going to talk about. Yeah, things. It's crazy. It's crazy. Bad.
We also have a really great episode. I haven't got to plug it on here, I don't think. We have a really great episode of Arguably Entertaining that went up a while back ago. Me and Cody.
The flag. Invaded, the bar. It's the bar. The
bar episode. It's Indiana Jones versus James Bond, respectively, me and Cody. Shannon guest moderated, and it was a lot of fun. I do not want to spoil it for you, so you got to go check it out. We're planning on having some new episodes of that here in the near future, too. And you never know when something else is coming back. Horse Time, The Inquest, all kinds. I'm working on a second episode of The Inquest actively. Like
the horses, awesome. The horses will run wild again. And really quick, one last time, I just want to say it on the show. Congratulations to Mandy for getting married to Justin Smart over the weekend.
Yeah,
very happy. Absolutely. Very happy for you. We love both you guys, so congrats.
Quite a dapper top hat.
And we got another one. We got another one to look forward to later this year because Jesse and Shelby are getting married. So there's a lot of Podzilla weddings this year. Yeah,
that's right. All right, guys, that is going to do it for us. Again, the show's not over. Dawn of Defiance is the only thing that's over. So one more time for Harani, for Iris, for Nareda, for Raynard, for Ridley,
Raynard,
for Sigurd, for Craid, for Kruskog, for Graz,
Mr. Peanut. Banelin.
For Mr. Peanut and Banelin and all your other favorite cast members over the past year and a half, including Hal D himself, Piney. Thank you so much for joining us. I am your Game Master Double H. As always, may the Force be with you. We'll see you next week. Later.